and welcome along to another tipping edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. And lightening up your week, as always, on a Friday, is Mr. Frank Hickey. Francis, how are things?
I'm good, Tom, you?
I'm absolutely flying it, and we're delighted to be in the company of the learned Patrick Power. Paddy, how are things?
I'm splendido, thank you very much, Tom. Splendido.
Good man, good man. We've got lots to look forward to, as usual. I feel like I say that every weekend, but I do earnestly mean it. We've got lots to look forward to again this weekend. Really good racing. Tingle Creek meeting in Sandown. The Beecher Chase meeting up in Aintree. The John Durkin meeting in Punchestown, Hillyway in Cork. We've got racing up in Kelso. Lots on ITV, and we're going to get stuck in. The lads are going to give us a couple of winners. So what we're going to do is we're going to kick things off on Saturday in the order that races will appear on ITV. And the first race is at 1:30 up at Aintree. It is the Beecher Chase, and LeBroy tops the betting for Ben Pauling and Keelan Woods at 9-2. Walk in the Mill is 5-1. Next in, Kimberlite Candy is 6s, 8-1. Ramsey de Tie 9-1. Good old Yala Enki, and it's 10s and bigger the rest. Paddy Power, you can kick us off. What's going to win the Beecher?
I'm going to go for a repeat of last year. Walk in the Mill. I just thought last year his prep race for this, he was pulled up on his prep, and he's had a much better prep this year, being beaten just 29 lengths in his prep race. So I think this has obviously been the plan for this fella. He's obviously rated much higher. He's rated £8 higher than last year, but I thought he won it pretty easy last year, and he finished. I mean, LeBroy would have been well behind, a few of the others in the race as well, well behind. So I think, I think Walk in the Mill with this as main target is interesting.
Frank, I was having a look at this race yesterday, actually, and one stuck out to me. And rarely does one stick out to somebody as thick as me. But I thought Kustar Savola looked interesting back down off this mark. He's obviously had his issues, but could he feature in a race like this?
Oh, he definitely could. He's handicapped to feature. He's just been out of form, but like, if he takes the fences, he's definitely got a live chance off that handicap mark. I did get involved early, last week, in this race, and it's LeBroy is the one I backed. I think he's got a really good chance. If you go back and watch last year's race, he was held up out the back. He jumped impeccably for his first try defences, travelled really powerfully, crossing the men and rolled, you know, you think, how far is he going to win by? And he just kind of cut out from there, and as soon as it came off, he found nothing and kind of weakened out of it. Then just did a bit of digging, and Ben Pauling didn't have the best years last year, particularly the first half of the year. And if you look at between June and November last year, he had 3 winners in that whole time. And then to put into context, he's had 15 winners in the same period this year. So he's a much better form this year. LeBroy was running off a mark of 100 or 150 last year. The ground was on time form, we're putting it good to soft, which probably wasn't testing enough for him either. Like, if you go back on to 2019, he won the 4-miler at Cheltenham in horrible conditions, only 4 finished. It was a really a stamina-sapping race that was. Last year, he didn't really build on that run at Aintree either. He finished 5th in the Classic Chase off a mark of 148, finished mid-division to Kim Muir of 145, but he did go off favourite for that. I thought he had a decent prep at Kelso, ground that would have been far too lively for him. He's been dropped to a mark of 140, which is, 141, sorry, carries 10 stone 8. I said, Pauling's yard in much better form. He has shortened up considerably in the last few days, but I think he's got a massive chance.
In the order of appearance, we go down to Sandown at 150, and it is for the Henry VIII Novices Chase. An absolute humdinger on paper. All Mankind tops the betting for Dan and Harry Skelton at 9-4 alongside Hitman, 100-30. El Dorado, Alan Gallo is 6-1. Tamarack de Mathan is 9s, and it's 12-1. The Rag, Phoenix Way for Harry Fry and Aidan Coleman. Frank, this is a cracking race, and we could probably get the strongest novice chasing form line of the season out of this.
Yeah, look, it's a very good weekend's race, and this is probably the one race I'm looking forward to the most over the weekend. I priced it up on Monday when the entries came out, and I didn't think it would hold up as well as it has. It's interesting. You've got the 3 4-year-olds getting weight, getting 6 pounds off the 3 older horses. J.A. Law's dropping back in trip. He ran over 2.5 miles the last day at Wincanton. Was impressive. The other issue with this race as well is that there's plenty of pace on All Mankind and J.A. Law. will definitely want to try and make it. And I think All Mankind will be too speedy for him, and we'll get to the lead. But I'm just wondering, will GA Law force All Mankind to go a little bit too quick and maybe set it up for one of the closers? I can see why people would like El Dorado Allen. He's got course form at Sandown. He handles testing ground. And a lot of people thought he was fortunate to win at Cheltenham. I was one of the few who thought he probably, well, I think he would have won anyway, even though Gumball fell at the second last. But to me, the one to side with is Hitman for Paul Nicholls. Only a four-year-old, made his chasing debut and stable debut at first last. And geez, it couldn't have been any more impressive. He had Highway 102 and Totterdown absolutely hammered when the two of them fell. And he won by 30 lengths from Mac the Man. Now, Mac the Man was rated 130 over hurdles. Highway 102 and Trotterdown were rated in the 140s over hurdles. And he's absolutely destroyed them. He should handle testing ground. If it gets any more testing, no problem. And Nicholls is a decent enough record in the race. I think he's a very exciting horse. The one thing is, he did clout the second last at first last. But all in all, his jumping was quite good. And he's a horse I'm very excited by.
Patrick.
Patrick, that was a very squeaky.
Yeah, sorry, Patrick. Patrick.
How's puberty going?
Great, yeah, getting there slowly but surely.
So I've gone for GA Law or Gal or whatever the hell it's called.
And yeah, sorry, I meant to ask, what are we going with? Is it GA or Gal? Right, okay.
It was GA Law, it'd be two capitals. What if GA? I don't know, whatever. Because horses, but the main reason I'm going for it is because horses with difficult to pronounce names are usually good. No, that's not the reason, but I thought he was visually really impressive. Absolutely pissed up the last time beating Hurricane Harvey and Grand Sansi. When Grand Sansi was, well, I don't know if Grand Sansi underperformed or just got hammered, but I'm a little bit worried about what Frank said. I never considered the fact that All Mankind's going to be a front runner as well. And the other thing is the ground has been kind of good or good to firm for his three runs, but he's won by 40 lengths about his three runs this year. And I just think we'll be underrated compared to the others. And I'm just hoping, because the connect Jamie Snowden and that they might be considered as strong as the Skeletons and the Nicholls and that and Tizzards. So at 6-1, I'm willing to take a chance because you're getting rewarded with the odds to take a chance that he'd be good enough. So GA Law for me.
GA or Gal Law for Patrick Power. Back up to entry at 205 for their listed juvenile hurdle for fillies. And Megan tops the betting at 13-8 for Stuart Edmonds, Sam Tristan Davis, Will Royd. Iconic is fours alongside Scholastic, who makes the trip for Joseph O'Brien. Alan King sends her indoors, who's a 6-1 chance. An 8-1 Army of One for Gavin Cromwell, who won this race with a filly called Famous Millie a couple of years ago by half the track. And did you run again? I can't even remember. But Frank, what did you think here?
Very tricky race. I wouldn't be mad keen on anything, but I was going to point out that Army of One, trained by Gavin Cromwell, is probably the one to monitor for any market support. He's had three runners in this race in the last 5 years, and he also had Juror's Girl along with Famous Millie win it, and he had a third as well. So I think it's significant he's bringing her over here for her hurdles debut. She did run in Germany. You imagine she'll handle the ground. And if there's some money for her, she might be worth a few bob. But it's a very tricky race. You don't have a huge amount of form to go on. Iconic ran well up in Weatherby behind Duffelcoat. And obviously Duffelcoat's come out and won at Cheltenham. So that probably sets the bar, but it's not overly high.
Paddy?
Yeah, I mean, very similar logic. I've gone for Megan because I thought that Iconic and Scholastic are pretty far. Like, I mean, they're fine, but they're pretty far behind the top notch juveniles we've seen. So at least Megan has a bubble yet to be burst. Well, their bubbles have already been burst. So I think Megan has the chance to be very good, but we don't know yet. So 13-8, I'm not sure I'll be getting involved with that price. But yeah, so Megan, soft tip for Megan.
Soft tip. 225 at Sandown is the Tingle Creek, and it is our Millionaire Chase qualifier this week. If you haven't heard about the Millionaire Chase, I could tell you about it, but what I'm going to do is give a hospital pass to Paddy Power, who's going to tell you about it.
For fuck's sake. Right, the Millionaire Chase is, we're doing it, we're having a race on New Year's Day at Cheltenham called the Paddy Power Millionaire Chase. And you want to be in the race because one person's going to have a horse running for them in that race. or one person is each horse is going to be running for somebody in that race. So if there's 10 runners, there'll be 10 finalists. And whoever wins the race will get £1 million. Like, easy, simple as that. And if you don't win the race, you get 10 grand. So what happens is you have a bet in the Tingle Creek, and if you back the winner and you opt into the draw, your name goes into the hat afterwards. We do a draw. One person who's backed the winner of the Tingle Creek tomorrow or on Saturday will qualify as a runner in the Millionaire Chase on New Year's Day and have a chance. Worst case scenario, we'll have won 10 grand. Best case scenario, we'll be a millionaire.
Next question. After you've opted into the Millionaire Chase and want to back the winner, is it a very simple, straightforward selection?
It is to me. I think Altior all the way for me, because last year, after getting beat by Surname, you kind of go, oh, maybe. But maybe that could be the end of Altior. But I think it's quite clear that was too early in the season for the two of them to take each other on, as it turned out. And Altior then, you know, Miss Cheltenham and all that kind of stuff. But Altior, apart from that, is just different gravy. I mean, he's getting on, but he's one of the best we've ever seen. So I think Altior just wins, basically.
Francis?
I'm actually on a hat trick for the Millionaire Races qualifiers, Tom.
Well done.
And I'm going to go against Altior with Granatine. Plitlog won this race in 2017. And interestingly enough, he won the Halland Gold Cup on his run prior to winning the Tingle Creek, and he won that Halland Gold Cup off a mark of 154. Now, Granatine won the Halland Gold Cup last month off a mark of 151. He's gone up to a mark of 158, which means he does need to improve about 10 pounds. But I think there's a chance he could improve a bit. And look, Altior has been one of the best horses we've seen in a long time. Like you probably put him up there, not a million miles behind Sprinter. Like, he would be behind Sprinter Sacro, but not a million miles behind him. But he is rising 11, and he was beaten on his reappearance last year by Surname. And, you know, while people have Surname down as a world beater, I think he's good. I just don't think he's as good as people think, personally. And I just think Altior might be vulnerable here. I know if you saw his work at Newbury, you would expect Epitone to travel all over him. But, like, she really, you know, was different gear altogether to him. I just think, granted, he's only six, he's improving. Like, if you go back to last year, he was beaten in the Silver Trophy at Chepstow, beaten out the gap off of just a mark of 134. And then he won his next three starts over fences and finished the season with a four in the Grand Annual. But the step from his run at Chepstow to his Chase debut was a massive jump forward. And I'm anticipating something similar from him tomorrow. And if he does do that, I think he can put it up to Plitlog and Altior.
Very interesting. Good man, Frank. A bit of bottle. We like it.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. New Year's Day 2021, and Paddy Power will be giving away £1 million to one lucky punter in the Paddy Power Millionaire Chase at Cheltenham. To enter, simply opt in and back the winner in this week's qualifier race, the 2:25 at Sandown on Saturday, to be in with a chance. In your face, 2020. For more details, just open our website or app. Paddy Power. Terms and conditions apply. Exclude shops. Selected markets only. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
2:40 at Aintree is the Many Clouds Chase. Santini tops the betting at 5-4. Native River 15-8. Frodon 11-4. 16-1. Lakeview Lad and 40s Keeper Hill. This is another good little race, Frank. Gold Cup clues, I should say, abound here, no doubt. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting race. I think there's a chance that Nicky Henderson might be looking for some red wine advice from Paddy at the end of tomorrow, because after saying that I think Altior will get turned over, I think there's a chance Santini will get turned over as well, and he might be drowning his sorrows tomorrow night. But like Santini, obviously he's run an absolute cracker in the Gold Cup last year. It's probably slightly unlucky when beaten only a neck by Album Photo. But if you go back to the start of last season, he ran in, I think it was an intermediate chase at Sandown, and he really scraped home from Noel McGinty and was disappointing that day. And I just think he might need this a little bit. And I anticipate that Native River will make this a test. He'll bow out in front and really put it up to him. And if there's any, you know, lack of fitness at all with Santini, I think he might be able to expose that. And Native River be one. I just would keep a little bit in the back of your head for Aintree in the spring. I think that'll be his big aim this year, maybe for the Grand National. But yeah, I think he might be able to turn over Santini. And of the three, Frodon would be the one I fancy the least.
Patrick?
Yeah, funny. I could see Native River and Frodon both trying to get the lead. Native River probably get dominating up front, and that'll kind of take Santini out of his comfort zone. But what I see, I picture this race in my head. The straight is just so long at Aintree, and there's plenty of time to get going. I can see Santini off the bridle, like even turn into the straight and just taking ages and ages and ages, but just getting going and getting going and getting going and getting there late on. I think Santini will win, but I think it'll be a slog.
Back down to Sandown at 3 o'clock for the London National, the 2020 renewal. Nobody here to reclaim their crown this year, of course, because 2019's version didn't even count. If you hark your mind back, it was a void race. Everyone was going ballistic. They should have LED screens and the rails and all sorts of stuff. But Cloudy Glen tops the betting for this year's renewal at 7-4. 100-30, Classic Ben, Cross Park 4-1, Doing Fine 6s, Pobbles Bay is 8s. It's 12-1, Shanro Santos and 16s, Regal Flow. Frank, what do you like in the London National?
When the rain comes and the muck flies, Venetia is the woman to follow. And I think the favourite here will be very difficult to beat Cloud again. He has some course form. He was second here last February over 3 miles off mark of 132. Wasn't consistent at all last season. Was liable to throw in a poor run. But he looked a completely different proposition on his reappearance at Fontwell in the Southern National when he absolutely bolted in. That was over 3 miles, three furlongs off mark of 134. He won by 13 lengths. And the jockey took a pull coming to two out, like, in a race like that. It's just incredible. He's got up 11 pounds, but he's only 7. He looks to be improving rapidly. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wins tomorrow that they aim at the Welsh National on the 27th. And he's one I could see running a big race there as well.
Patrick?
Yeah, completely agree. Won the Southern National last time, won at the London National before the Welsh National. Yeah, Cloudy Glen for me. And that's the fourth favourite in a row I've tipped up. So fingers crossed I'll get at least a winner this week.
Well, some of them were only soft tips, to be fair, though. 3:15 at Aintree is the Sefton Huntsman's Son, a 5-1 favourite. Modus is 6-1 next in, 7-1 Lord Dumenil. Springtown Lake is 8 alongside Semetigal and Senior Citizen, 11-1 Diderot Vallis, 12-1 Creve Hill, and 14's Bar. Paddy, you can kick us off here. What wins the Sefton?
Yeah, so I've gone for Modus. I think Modus won nicely here, not over these fences now, won nicely at Aintree this time of year last year. And just on the last time, his first time up last month, he was pretty impressive. I think it was a nice win. And I just think on his day, he could be very good. At 6-1, I'm willing to take a chance. I think in the colours he's in, you know, it's not like he's been targeted at such bigger races later in the season. They've got plenty for them. So just his eye cash, and today, this could be an early season target for Modus. And 6-1, why not?
Francis?
Yeah, just going to say, after last week, I think we should do less of the soft tips, Tom. I think let's leave that off. I'm going to go with another Venetia Williams horse here, Diderot Vallis. Initially was with Winnie Mullins, but won his second and third starts for Venetia Carlisle off a mark of 127, Haylock off a mark of 130. Both on testing ground 2 years ago. Was fifth in the Burn Group Plate in 2019 off a mark of 139. That was a really good renewal in the race as well. Was pulled up in his reappearance at Ascot last year, then ran a fair race on this, went fifth off a mark of 134. Jumped okay, made a couple of errors, could have been a little bit better. Was second in the Roll of America off a mark of 132, beating 8 lengths by Topfield Ben. That was a cracking effort. Topfield Ben, very useful in that sort of company. Ran much better at Ascot this time on his reappearance off 132, went sixth, beating only 10 lengths. Venetia's an absolute cracking form. So 8 winners and 26 runners. 31% strike rate for the last 2 weeks. And Dara Vaz is running off a £3 lower mark than last year. And the more tests on the ground, the better. So I can see him getting out in front and hopefully staying there.
Back down to Sandown. 3:35 is the December handicap hurdle. And Mr. Coffey tops the betting at 2-1, 11-2 solo, 8-1 Nicholson. Eight alongside Jolly's Cracked It and Rosie and Millie and Benson and Galis McCallow, all at 8-1, 9-1 Eglinton DeSoy and 10-1 and bigger the rest. Frankie, you can kick us off here. What's going to win this?
Mr. Coffey, horse I really like. Won his hurdles debut last year at Newbury, was very impressive, then went to Hunting under a penalty, far too keen. pulled his chance away. We didn't see him again until handicap at Sandown last month. Looked a lot more clued in. Wasn't as keen. Traveled through the race like a weapon. Came there tanking. And when asked to quicken up, he put the race to bed in no time at all. That was his handicap debut off a mark of 128. The ground is a little bit more testing here. I think he should handle it, though. He's gone up 10 pounds, but the second Oscar's leader was narrowly beaten at Haydock during the week, and even the fifth was second at his next start also. So the form is relatively solid. Nicky's won this three times in the last 9 years. I think Mr. Coffey, he's definitely got plenty of scope to be better than 138. And I'm half... If Epitone hadn't been so impressive last week, I'd be tempted to play Mr. Coffey with a small each way bet for the champion hurdle. But yeah, it's very speculative. But I think he's well better than the mark 138.
Patrick?
A compelling argument, Frank. A compelling argument nonetheless. But I'm going to go for Benson nonetheless to follow up from last year. He won quite cosily. And he won his last two quite cosily, rather. And getting plenty of weight from Mr. Coffey and Solo. I just think Benson might be still quite well handicapped on the up. Needs to win because of his handicap mark. I think Mr. Coffey's obviously a much better horse, and so as is Solo on paper. But I think Benson at 8-1 is a decent each way shout.
Right. Oh, that is ITV Racing done and dusted. Anything else standing out on Saturday, lads? Navin, Weatherby, Frank, anything?
I've loads standing out. It's cracking. I think I've got 6 or 7, so I'll run through them as quick as possible. Aintree, 12:20.
Can we fade in some elevator music here? Just as Frank
Do you want to just go to the toilet there, Tom, and come back there in 10 minutes?
I'll head off.
So the 12:20, 2.5 my handicap chase. Looks like Mert. He has to go close here. Surely. He's turning into a cliff horse for me. We all know he's flattered to see him more than one occasion. He runs here off the mark of 125. Hasn't won since the beginning of last season. He bolts up a Kelso off the mark of 113 over 3 miles. And he was caught on the line his reappearance this season in a novice hurdle at Kelso. Looked all over the winner, might have needed. Was a little bit disappointed the last day, but held up. Never really got into the race. Two fences in the straight were omitted. Don't think it suited. The ground was good to soft, which would have been a bit lively for him as well. The likely strong pace and testing ground this trip looked sure to suit. I think it's got each way claims. I think it'd be a decent price. 12:55, Cateson's one that's interesting. Shaved like the run was needed on his reappearance over 3 miles at Newbury. I'm not convinced he wants 3 miles. I think he's better over 2.5. If you go back to his novice form, he was third in the shallow hurdle behind Champ. He has Aintree form as well. He was second here in the Grade 2 Bumper at the Festival 2018. Ran well over 2.5 miles at his last start of last season off a mark of 135. We've beaten 15 lengths by Main Fact, who was winning off 132. Of course, Main Fact won a Haydock a couple of weeks ago off 147. Strong form. The third remaster won a novice chase. The fifth West of the Bridge won 2 starts later, as did the seventh in Formator. Very strong form. He's running off 134 here, a pound lower. Pieces go on. Tom Scoo jumps up as well. I think he might give it a good go from the front. Over the chest, though. Another one. Anisha Williams. Yaltari. I think that man for Pippin's one to keep an eye on for the Welsh National. But Venetia's in form, as I've already said. This horse won his first three handicap hurdles. Was second here in his chase debut in December 2018. Off the mark of 130.
Frank Hickey, time is up.
Come on, for God's sake. These are the ones that actually win.
I'm joking you. I'm trying to wind you up. Go on, what else do you like?
We're all about Yaltari. He's been out of form since he fell at Exeter. Was third in the Grade 2 Reynoldstown as a novice.
Horatian, Frank.
Pardon? He's in the...
Yaltari, Horatian.
He's in the Welsh National Trial. I just thought there was a chance he'd bounce back to form with Venetia in form. Navin's got a cracking card. Really excited to see Forge and Fire in the 12:33, 2.5 mile maiden hurdle. This horse, brother to Stellar Notion, who's a decent handicap chase for Nicholson de Bromhead. One is only starting a bumper at Leopardstown last Christmas, beating Fernie Hollow and Fakira. That form is red hot. He's a very exciting prospect. The 108 3-mile handicap hurdle, cracking race. Really excited for this. The Jam Man won it last year, beating Tom's 2-8 per me, I mean. Sarge Burley was fourth. And keep an eye on the boss's Oscar. He's running off 137. I'm hoping that he won't win because they kind of want him to keep around that handicap mark because he's my fancy for the pretemps in Cheltenham in March. but I'd like to see him finish in the first five here, just maybe running on into fourth or something. Tui Permi is back for more. Rana Cracker would finish in third up in the champion chase at Down Royal. He's running off a mark for 135. He's very well handicapped. But I do think at the Acorn, it's worth taking a chance on. He's running off 121, which means he's £7 out of the handicap. And Owen O'Connor takes five off, but he is rated 131 over fences. And I'm convinced that he's got a big handicap in him off that mark over fences. He bolted up in his point over 3 miles in heavy ground, beating the very useful Kaluni. And yet he's never run over 3 miles on the rules. So I think there's massive scope for him to improve for the step up and trip. Like if you go back to last year at Dublin Racing Festival, he went off 92 for the big 2 mile 5 handicap chase. And he was badly hampered. I think it was a 3 out and finished 6th. He was very unlucky that day. The last day he ran over hurdles over 2 miles, far too short. Big run from him, I think. And he's one I wouldn't be surprised to see go to Leopardstown at Christmas for the Paddy Power and run a big race. 143, the 2.5 mile beginner's chase, the big getaway goes chasing. Absolutely, really excited to see him hit a fence. Ran brilliant for the Ballymore when third. This is going to be a tough race for him, though. He's up against the likes of Sempo, opposite track, conflated exit pole. But I do think he shapes like he's going to be a better chaser. And I wouldn't be surprised if he develops into an RSA horse or possibly even a 4 miler if they want to go down that route. And finally, 253, another really competitive 2.5 mile handicap chase. Massey's Wood. This horse won his maiden hurdle at Turles, going back a while over 3 miles on testing ground, beating the conditional. Was off the track for 2 years, had 3 quick starts in beginner's chases where he didn't show a whole pile, had a bit of a break, came back over, fenced it down Royal on his first handicap start off a mark of 118, jumped impeccably, won very easily. He's been bumped up 11 pounds. He handles testing ground. I think he's definitely got scope to rate higher than 129.
Well done, Frank Hickey. That's what you call in-depth research. Fair play to you. If you haven't got Saturday enough winners in your notebook for Saturday, well, here comes Sunday.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Righto, plenty more good racing over the weekend to look at, and the first of which is at Cork that we're going to take a look at. It's the 125, it's the Hilly Way, and we only have the 7 going to post here, but Frank Shacken Poursois is one of the big names back on Sunday. On ratings, he'll be hard to beat.
Yeah, he will. The only thing, if you were looking to take him on, I suppose you could say that he was beaten in his reappearance last year by Absolute Heart. But there doesn't seem to be anything of that caliber in the race against him. Like Cashback and Chosen Mate are next in on the ratings of 156. Shacken Poursois has a rating of 172. So he could underperform, you know, by probably £10 and still win this race. And you'd be disappointed if you couldn't win. To my mind, he'd be your champion chase winner. And you'd be disappointed if he gets done on Sunday.
Patrick?
Yeah, same here. To be honest, before I saw the final decks, I was going to throw up Castle Grace, Paddy, but the Shacken Poursois is just the obvious one, yeah.
Shacken Poursois is the obvious one for the two lads. 140 at Punchestown is the John Durkin again. We get the 8 here, so there will be each way betting. Frank Min is here. Willie has a couple declared. Min, Melon, Tornado, Flyer, and Alaho. We've got Battle Over Doyen and Lurishberg, as well as Sam Crow and Chris's Dream. John Durkin is always a brilliant race, and this year looks no different. What did you make of this one?
Oh, it's an absolute brilliant race. Look, Main's going for a hat trick. I do think he's the one to beat, but Alaho needs the run the last 2 years, and he might need this, but he's one. I know they're talking about going down the Ryanair route for them, but I think they're a bit mad. I think he's a Gold Cup horse myself. I wouldn't mind seeing him kind of plugging on into second, looking a bit of a stare, so they'd go 3 miles with him. I think Min will probably, you know, land the hat trick, but it's a brilliant race. I think Chris's Dream will run well as well, and it'll be interesting to see how Lurishberg goes, considering he was, I think he was favourite for the Arkle when he got injured, and coming back from nearly 2 years off. But yeah, I'm just most interested in seeing how Alaho goes, because he's a horse that I think he's got huge ability, and hopefully the next time Ruby's on with me, I'm going to try and going to convince him to go down the Gold Cup route. As I told him last year, Alaho would have won the Marsh Chase if he went that route, and they wouldn't listen. So hopefully they'll listen this time.
Hard to believe Min is only 9. Paddy, what did you think of the John Durkin?
I thought the fact is a load of them kind of first time up for the season. I know it's the John Durkins of John Durkin, but they'll have big targets down the road as well. It's going to be a long season for them. That, you know, something with a bit of fitness under his belt, a decent horse, battle over Doyen was the one for me. I just thought this may be one that Cheltenham doesn't suit, so maybe the targets for this horse could be more early in the season, so this could be one of the main targets for battle over Doyen. Was impressive last day up the north, so I know looks second string from the stable on jockey booking, but Rachel Blackmore is obviously riding, so she's not bad at all, and battle over Doyen might be a bit of value.
Over to Huntington for the Peterborough Chase at 2:25 on Sunday. 9 here, Frank. Al Dancer came with a menacing run in the Paddy Power. Thought he was going to win it at one stage. Top Notch is in there as well. Bundoran and Dolos. Anything standing out at this stage?
Top Notch won this in 2017 and 19. It really suits him. He's had a wind up. He's definitely the one to beat. Nutswell is improving. His form has been... Frank, obviously, with I Write running a really big race in the Ladbrokes Trophy in Clondalk Castle, winning a nice handicap subsequently. But I'm going to take a chance on Mr. Fisher. I think the ground's got too testing at Cheltenham firm. It is. I think it's soft, good to softer places at Huntington. I think he'll get away with that. And he'll strip a bit fitter here as well. Like, if you go back to last year, he beat Al Dancer at Doncaster. He won at Cheltenham as well over 2.5, and he was fourth in a really decent renewal as well of the Marsh Chase. And I think they're all very closely matched on ratings. I think Dallas is at the top at 160, and I think Glenforth is at the bottom at 151. So you can make a case for Mawson, but I just think Mr. Fisher's one where we haven't seen the best of him in this test. A flat track really suits him. I think a lot of his best runs will come on flat tracks, and I could see him running a lot better here.
Patrick?
Funny, I started at Mr. Fisher, but then I just figured the ground might be too soft. So I might be wrong with that one. But Nutswell, because Frank just said it there, because the form has worked out so well with his two wins and is a horse on the up. So Nutswell for me.
3:20 at Kelso is the Borders National. And again, a wide open 13 in it. Frank, we'll let you kick it off because we trust you'll have all the stats and figures ready to crunch for us.
Yeah, I priced this race on Monday anti-post, and I was a bit different to maybe some of the other firms. I think Just Your Type will run well. He likes a bit of a stamina test. He's climbing in off the back of winning a Utoxter. And Big Iron on his hip actually won the race last year, beating Just Your Type. He's now £10 higher. Could see him going well, but I think at the price, I'm going to take a chance on looking well. This horse was absolutely cruising in the race 2 years ago when he fell. I think it was a 4 out or 3 out. Won his next start then at Doncaster, was off, fell at Doncaster then and had 18 months off the track, returned to Kelso over hurdles last month, ran kind of well, I thought. He was 28 to 1, the run was badly needed, I think. Finished fourth, very encouraging run. Runs here off the mark of 136, which is only £3 higher than when he fell in the race travelling well and £3 higher when he won at Doncaster. He's 11 rising 12. I'd assume this has been the target since they got him back fit, and I think he's around the 8-10 to 1 mark. That'll do me each way.
Lovely stuff indeed. Righto, time for best bets of the weekend, and Patrick, you can kick us off.
You going to me first?
Yeah.
Jesus. I think my best bet of the weekend is going to be Cloudy Glen in the 3 o'clock at Sandown on Saturday.
Lovely stuff. And Frank Higgy?
I was going to say Cloudy Glen is the most likely winner if you want one. But for a bit of value, I'm going to go to Navin, the 108 at the Acorn in the 3-mile handicap hurdle. In Tony Martin, we trust.
In Tony Martin, we trust indeed. Righto, before we finish, Paddy, a wine recommendation for the weekend? Anything for us?
Funny, I did find something there. I've just forgotten the name. It's something Bel Air. I'm going to look it up here. I have it on my Vivino app, which is obviously very handy for keeping track of the ones you like. So it's called Chateau Via Bel Air, and it's about €20 for a bottle, so nice enough. And it is not too strong on alcohol, only 13.5%. Nice, easy drinking, and we'll go with food if you want, or by the neck is fine, or even with a straw is perfect.
Ideal. That's what we love. A versatile wine. Right, Al, before we finish, a few quick questions from social media. Fergal asks, Frank, festival lucky 15 at this stage?
Concertista Mayor's Hurdle. That Triumph Hurdle horse that won at Fairy House was very impressive. My one from left field is going to be Kesk on Risk for the Supreme. Really taken with how he won last week. I think he's a really nice horse. And my last one would be the Boss's Oscar for the Pertomps.
For the Pertomps. Very good. And Patrick Power, question in from Tony. He says, any handicap snips at this stage for the Cheltenham Festival?
Yeah. But how the hell am I to know at this stage? Jesus.
The Boss's Oscar,
because Frank fancied it.
I'll just say to anyone listening, go back and watch the Martin Pipe last year, and he is being scrubbed along without the second circuit. You think he's going to be tailed off or pulled up, and he gets hampered at the last, and without getting hampered, he would have gone very close to winning. He's crying out for 3 miles, and when he gets a big field, all they have to do is mind his handicap mark. Gordon Elliott, in the last three years of Bretons, Gordon Elliott's won all three, and he's had a 1-2 in 2 of those years. So he's targeted something out of every year, and the Boss's Oscar is the one this year, I think.
There you have it, straight from the horse's mouth, no less. That's all we've got time for on this week's show. My thanks to Frank and Paddy, and of course, thanks to you for listening. Make sure to check out all the latest odds and offers and opt in to the Millionaire Chase on paddypower.com. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.